Technology's great, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, I need one more so I can tell what time it is. All right. Less than 2 hours, I should be done. Thank you all so much for being here. We appreciate so much your presence, and got some other visitors. Thank you for coming. And I want to thank the congregation here again for inviting me to come. Appreciate the opportunity, and I hope that it will not be a long week for you, but I hope it'll be a short week in the sense that it doesn't seem like a long week. But we're glad that you're here. Appreciate your encouragement that you've already given me so far, and your very kind attention. It's been great. Appreciate that. Today, we started talking about digital technology. And the first two lessons had to do with addiction to digital technology. Now, I'm not going to repeat all of that. And we talked about that. Somebody's phone going off. Somebody do that on purpose? No. Are the lessons here recorded?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so the lessons are recorded. And if you want to catch up on that, you can. Listen to those. I won't repeat that. I've got a lot of material to cover tonight. And then, Lord willing, tomorrow night we'll have one more lesson on digital technology. And we're going to talk about pornography and the internet. So invite you to come back. Tomorrow's lesson will be hard. It'll be hard to preach. It'll be hard to listen to. But it needs to be preached. It needs to be talked about. And it's not just young people we're talking about here. So invite your kind attention to the things we've got. So put your chairs in an upright position. Fasten your seat belts. Tie your shoes. We got a lot to talk about tonight. We're using as our theme this week this Isaiah passage, and our brother read verses 6 through 9 just a moment ago. And here is the import of that theme. Isaiah writes of God the idea that we need to seek God while God can be found. We need His guidance. We need His direction. Because just like in Isaiah's day, 700 years before Christ, 2,000 years after Christ, man still has problems. God has the answers. So we need to look to God so that we can know the way that God directs for us to overcome our problems that we face. And you can put great trust in God that God's Word is just that awesome and great that we can read it all of these centuries later. And it is perfect. Thoroughly furnishes us to every good work. It equips us in order to be ready to serve the Lord as He would have us serve Him. So, we want to keep that theme in mind as we study each and every lesson this week. Now, tonight specifically, the elders had asked me to talk about social media. And we're going to talk about that. And the first thing that I think that we would look at in regards to social media is really just to ask the question, well, what are we talking about? When we talk about social media, we're talking about forms of electronic communication, such as websites for social networking and microblogging, through which users create online communities to share information, ideas, personal messages, and other content such as videos, and I would also add pictures, okay? And that's according to Merriam-Webster. Now, when we stop to consider that and look at that, I don't know what is going on with this PowerPoint here. I looked, and according to July 2018, which is, if I'm not mistaken, that's this month, right? World population is 7.6 billion people. That's a bunches. All right? 2.2 billion active users are on Facebook as of July the 9th, 2018. That was an amazing number to me. And we also learned that Facebook users, as an average, spend about 40 minutes on Facebook a day. And The average Facebook user has 300 friends. And I started not to put that up there. One of the reasons I thought, well, you know, I put that up there as the average, and if you only got 100 friends, you're going to feel like, oh, man, I only got 100 friends. I'm not even average. And if you're somebody like me that's got, you know, thousands, no. But I thought that was interesting, 300. The average person goes through life knowing about 800 people, something like that. So 300 of them, average, is you're friends with on Facebook. The internet has about 4.2 billion users. That's a lot. 3.3 billion are active on social media. And about 500 million use WhatsApp. You may say, what's that? Well, WhatsApp is social media. That's as far as I'll go. Twitter, about 284 million. Instagram, about 600 million. 91% of retail brands use two or more social media channels. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? Well, when we consider all of this, I guess the question that we need to ask, like we did earlier today, just in regards to digital technology alone, is social media for the child of God, for the Christian, is it wrong? Is it wrong to use Facebook? Now, it's interesting through the last few years that, you know, these things have become so used and publicized and talked about among brethren. It's interesting the reaction I get to people when talking about Facebook. I may say something just in conversation with someone that I saw something or I found out something on Facebook. And invariably, you run into a number of people, oh, I don't use Facebook. I don't do that. And it's a very kind of gruff kind of response that, you know, I don't touch the devil, you know, kind of attitude about it. And then there are others that you talk to, and I'm talking about, in both of these examples, people that are, you know, good Christians, people that are influential brethren, all right? And then you meet others that say, oh yeah, I'm on Facebook all the time and I saw this and saw that. And, you know, did you see this the other day? And, you know, they're all into it. Well, we talked about this morning, and I want to repeat because there are folks here tonight that weren't here this morning, just to simply say this. When we read the Bible, from the Bible's perspective, there are things that are commanded and there are things that are forbidden, and then there are things that are of liberty or freedom. Well, when we look at the idea of social media, I think we would understand that using social media would be in the liberty category. Now, here's why. The Word of God does not forbid or command to be used social media. They'll say, well, Brother Slee doesn't mention social media. Bingo. And when we look at it from the aspect of being commanded to or forbidden to, God doesn't talk about that. But that doesn't mean that it's not something we can talk about or think about. Because even though God's Word would indicate to us that social media would fit into the idea of a liberty or a freedom, when we study God's Word, we learn that even the Bible regulates things that are of a liberty or a freedom. One of the things is that we talked about in Romans 14 is that you cannot violate or should not violate your own conscience. Whatsoever is not of faith, it is sin. So you need to go through the mental gymnastics of, do I think it's okay? Is it okay for me to be on Facebook or Twitter, etc.? And if you decide for yourself that, you know, it's not really good for me, maybe from the two lessons we talked about earlier today, we decide, you know, I can't control myself. I just get out of control. I'm always on that thing and I've got work to do. I've got other things to do and I'm just not going to get involved. Well, then get off of it. Stay off of it. That's your choice. You can do that. We also need to understand that you don't violate someone else's conscience. And what we'd understand, you don't want to lead yourself in the direction of sinning, and you certainly don't want to lead someone else in the direction of sinning by causing them to stumble either. So in the category of freedom, and there's much more to that topic than I'm presenting there, but in this context, I think maybe that is sufficient to say that in realms of freedom, we understand we don't want to sin ourselves or cause somebody else to sin. Okay? All right. Social media can be used for good. It can be used for good. There is no doubt about that. And when we search, we find fellas like Gardner Hall. You ever heard of that guy? You know Gardner Hall? All right. Jerry Falk is also with Gardner from time to time. And if you're on Facebook and you're friends with these two guys, and if you are on Facebook and you're not friends with these two guys, send them a friend request. Because they put out some great videos. Now, granted, most all of them are in Spanish. If you no speak español, you are in trouble. But the reality is they put out some really, really good stuff. Some, you know, like, I think they're like 3 minutes. Does anybody listen to that? Anybody listen to that? What are they? How long are they? Like 3 minutes maybe? Yeah. Okay. Short sermons. You are going to love them. You know, short sermons. Okay. And these great videos. So that's a good thing. Scott Smelser and Stephen Rouse, they're up in Gettysburg, PA, Pennsylvania. And they have a live chat Bible discussion. There's usually a third guy in there as well. And they're just on Facebook and they're live streaming, you know, some Bible discussion about something. And that's cool. And that's a good thing, you know, to get involved with that. And it's not one of these, you know, hateful, arrogant kind of debates, you know, kind of thing. I mean, it's good Bible study to where people that are really looking for the truth can sit down and listen to this and get involved by asking questions and participating, you know, kind of thing. So that's a great deal. That Facebook does that. Steve Klein, y'all heard of that guy? Heard of him? Trent Barksdale, I think he's still preaching over here at, is it Pettisville? Pettisville, he's over here at Pettisville. And they have some live streaming of sermons and Bible studies and so forth. So if you're on Facebook, you don't have a conscience against it, and you can control yourself and not get, you know, just addicted to it, you know, and you don't get your work done and so forth and so on. If you can handle that, Facebook is a great place to go and do some serious Bible studies. Okay? You can do that. Invite other people to join into those Bible studies and to learn some great things. And in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, I threw that up there, that the idea of we need to do all that we can to encourage one another. There are lots of folks that say, well, I can't teach. I don't know what to say. If they're on Facebook, you can direct them to some places to go and they can be taught and learn some great things. Another example is the Zimbabwe Brethren. And there you could go to Honduras, all places all over the world. But Church at Anderson, where I preach regularly, we are heavily involved in helping, supporting preachers and helping them benevolently. The Brethren in Zimbabwe. And the cool thing about Facebook, there's also a private messenger that's attached to that you can use. And they're, I think, 8 hours ahead of us in Zimbabwe. But I can communicate with them instant message, talking, live. And we've not done this yet. We need to set up the appropriate time and get with some of these guys and do this. But some of the brethren here, I think some at Capshaw do this. There's a means by which you can use Facebook to make a call, a live video call, and you can talk to brethren live on the other side of the world. Now that's a good thing. That's a great thing. And this is a great opportunity for me to do a little plug here. The Brethren in Zimbabwe, your daughter is just getting ready to come back from there, right? So she'll be able to give you some firsthand information about the place. And in the big cities, things are a little bit different than out in the bush. And out in the bush, there are tremendously great numbers of Christians. All right? We support at Anderson a fellow by the name of Trymore. And we were supporting a guy named Taco. We encouraged a church in Florence, the College View Church. They are now supporting Taka. But we started supporting another guy, Fabian. Eastside Church supports a number of men that preach the gospel in Zimbabwe. There are great opportunities. I get messages from them almost daily, and they've baptized 3 or 4 people. They are really, really, pardon the pun, beating the bushes. They are out there in the wild. And amongst the people out there, it's about 90 plus unemployment. They've had famine after famine. There's been great opportunities for brethren here in the United States to help them with food. And you may have, as a congregation, have done that in the past. There's been lots of places that have sent stuff over there. But right now, the best means to which we can help brethren in Zimbabwe, you can send money to some trusted men. There's been some shysters. There's always, in every place, regardless of where things are happening, there's going to be guys that, you know, are going to do the wrong thing. But there are a number of men over there that are extremely, extremely credible. They have great integrity. And they help brethren that are in really great need. I want to read you a passage in the book of Luke, chapter 12 and verse 48. And this passage ought to touch the hearts of each of us who we all had, those of you that were here today that got to participate in the feast of the potluck. I mean, did we have a lot of food or what? Did we have enough? Did we have more than we need? Absolutely. Don't each of our homes really, doesn't that really represent each of our homes? I mean, we all have food in the freezer and food in the fridge and food. These folks don't have that. Luke chapter 12 and verse 48, the latter part, it says, "And from everyone who has been given much shall much be required, and to whom they entrust much, of him they will ask all the more." We wouldn't expect the brethren at Zimbabwe to send benevolence and or preaching support over here because they ain't got it. All right? But let's be honest. We got it. Some churches have more than others. Some people have more than others. But brethren, we are all blessed above and beyond our needs. There are brethren in Zimbabwe that could use your help. A preacher just, we helped a little bit, just recently asked. He's preaching in an extremely dangerous area of the bush. And there are 73 families that are Christians. Great famine there, and they don't have food. They need somebody to help them. Maybe it's you as an individual. Maybe it's you as a congregation. Those of you who are visiting from other congregations, maybe it's your congregation. You know, with 73 people, you're talking about in the neighborhood, I'm just rough off the top of my head, I won't give you no exact figures, but probably in the neighborhood of $1,000 or less dollars, you can feed each one of those families with a 10K bag. That's, 10K? Yeah. 10K, 22 pound, 20, is that right? I'm not very good at math. 22-pound bag of mealy meal, and that feeds a family for 1 month. 1 month. So if you're interested in doing that, see me after service. And I'm not ashamed to make a plug, because brethren need help. Now, how does that relate to Facebook? I'll tell you what you can do. You can become friends with those folks, some of the brethren. Now, these preachers who are getting like $400 a month support, and they got families, and they probably spend $350 of that helping other people. Okay? How many of you know Patty Kindleball? You know that guy? Witness? What's the other word? Credibility. There we go. Credibility of who you're helping and what you're doing. Talk to Patty Kindleball. I've already mentioned about Steve Klein. You know him, right? Steve has had boots on the ground several times over there, right? He knows these guys. You can become friends with some of these guys and communicate with them directly. Facebook can be used for good. All right? And they will show you pictures of the brethren getting the food. They will show you the receipt that they have used to buy the food, the money that you have given. That's an awesome thing. So, if you're interested in that, Facebook can help too. All right, get to move on. Spent too much time there. However, social media, like Facebook, can be for evil too. Does your social media really represent who you are? Your Twitter account. All those other things. 411 different things. If someone only knows you by your social media account, does your account truly represent who you are? Now the passage in Matthew 5 that I've got up here, in the Sermon on the Mount, you know, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You're the salt of the earth. Remember that passage? That's true even when you're on Facebook. Okay? And the importance is that there is great potential that you can use Facebook for. But we learn from Scripture that great potential is not in and of itself pleasing to God. Example, the parable of the talents. Each of those men had potential. God gave them each of their own potential. Only two used their potential and acted in faith. The one buried his talent, his potential, and didn't use it. We have potential to use a social media account for some good. Question, are you? Well, maybe not. Acting on that potential is pleasing to God. Well, when we consider this, I want you to stop and think seriously before you post on social media. I think it's a tool. I think it can be used for good, but it also can be used for evil. But I've got lots of friends. I have to tell you this quick story. I don't even remember when it was. It was a long time ago, and I've slept since then. But back when what were we talking about? Facebook, when it first got started, I didn't have any friends. Kind of like life. No. I didn't have any friends. So I hook up to this thing, and lo and behold, bing! This blonde girl, she shows up and she wants to be my friend. And I thought, I've done messed up now. Blondes have never wanted to be my friends. The first thing I did, I went and got Mary Lou. And I said, baby, I said, you need to come in here and see this. I said, I didn't do anything. All I did was hook up to this thing and this blonde wants to be my friend. Well, I didn't know who she was. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. Well, I did look into it, and I found out, you know, you could do an about, and look at this. I just held a meeting at a church, and she was a member there, and she wanted to be my friend, and I thought, duh. All right. Well, now I've got lots of friends, and my wife is constantly saying, who is this guy? I'm seeing things on here all the time, always talking about this guy. Who's this woman over here? And I said, meeting. Gospel meeting. You know, that's my Bible. Gospel meeting, you know. Go to a meeting and lots of folks won't be your friends now. Okay. All right. When people post, there are Christians that I know from all over the country that have become my friend that I have defriended. You know why? Because they have posted things that they should not post on Facebook. I think it's important that we understand that Facebook should not be all about you. Now, the reason I say that is because God expects us as disciples that it's not all about me. When churches have problems, now we'll reserve that for the last four lessons, talking more about social church makeup and relationship things in fellowship to God and how we work together and so forth and so on. But I tell you, if you have one brother or one sister in a local church where it's all about them, you're going to have a problem. This church is not about you. Social media is very easy to make it about you. How do I know? Who cares what you had for breakfast? I could care less. And sometimes I've got friends, they'll post something and I hadn't seen anything from a long time, and all of a sudden they'll just say, well, that didn't go well. And that was it. Well, we'll pray for you. What are you talking about? I don't know what it... And it's just like it's a fog kind of... I'm lost. Okay? But when you consider the idea of what you're thinking and doing and posting pictures of it, my buddy Steve Klein, he's picked up fishing. And he takes off a little bit of time and he'll go catch a fish. And he's pretty proud of that. And he takes a picture and put it on Facebook. Well, I don't have a problem with that. And it's not so much that, look at me, Steve, I caught a fish. And as I remember, it was about that long. You know, it wasn't a big fish. But the thing about it was, I mean, that's kind of what social media is in doing that kind of sharing. Nothing wrong about that. But it does seem that it's easy to get sucked in to be about all self. There are people that get on there and have such a pity party. They get on there and they just whine and gripe and complain and just it's just all about them. It stinks. And I push hide. And if it pops up again and it's something like this, it's like defriend. And if I've defriended you, sorry, you've been posting junk I don't like. That's part of the deal. Social media, right? I can accept you, but I can kick you out. All right? Well, when you look at Philippians 2, verses 3 through 4, Paul was teaching. One of the things that is the heart and foundation of being a Christian is learning not to be all about me. It's about others. So if you can take your Facebook account and make it the loving discipleship attitude about others and helping others, that's going to be great. But if you're all sucked up into yourself and it's all about you and how you feel and how you've been mistreated and all this kind of stuff, maybe that's what a lot of people do. But that is a bummer. Plus, it ain't right. Okay? Secondly, is this really appropriate what you put on here? Is it really appropriate? Don't be so quick to share and like. I don't know. Maybe things happen sometimes. I know people get hacked. And then there winds up being dirty pictures. Well, I guarantee you, brother and sister, if you ever see a dirty picture that comes on my feed, you can bet I got hacked. All right? And you best let me know ASAP. Okay? And I would say the same thing about you as a Christian. All right? But not being hacked, it's amazing to me the good Christians that I know in other places, they will like and or share things that are just totally inappropriate. And I'm shocked by that. And I don't understand that. And I wonder if we really even understand what we're sharing and what we're liking. Notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21, this is a pretty important passage in this regards. It says, but examine everything carefully. That's one thing. If you share something, and lots of it might be politics. There's a lot of fake news out there, right? All right? If you see something that really, you know, destroys the Democrats or destroys the Republicans or, you know, tears down Obama or Clinton or something, you know, a lot of that stuff that's put out there ain't true anyway. And if you're sharing that and liking that, guess what you're doing? You're participating in things that's wrong. You're an accomplice to that. Notice the text. Examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. If something comes on your feed and it is evil, it is wrong, it is a lie, then delete it. Delete that comment. Get that off of your feed. And certainly if someone is constantly doing that sort of thing, I'd unfriend them. Send them a little private message and tell them why. A good friend of mine, he regularly puts on his Facebook feed, and he'll say, "Be aware, brethren, or friends. He's got a lot of friends that are not Christians, and so do I. I've got a lot of family that are far from being Christians. And sometimes they will post the most crazy stuff. But he'll post and he'll say, look, if you're a friend, a brother, or not, and you post anything that I deem from God's Word as sinful or wrong, like curse words or inappropriate behavior or nudity, I will delete you. I will unfriend you. No questions asked." Great policy. Great policy. Philippians 4:8, remember that? Whatsoever things are good, honest, good report. If it doesn't fall into that category, then it does not need to be on your social media, period. Is there any part of that something nobody understands? You understand that? It's pretty simple, isn't it? If it's wrong, if it's evil, it's sinful, don't have it on your social media. Don't share it. Don't like it. Okay? If you're not on social media and you don't know what share and like is, it's okay. Don't worry about it. But if you're on social media, you know what I'm talking about, right? You know what I'm talking about, right? All right, gotcha. All right. Now, are you promoting evil and sin? Think about this for a moment. There is lots of immodesty that people share and like. There's acts of fornication. There's dirty words. There's alcohol. As a Christian, I've got no reason whatsoever to share and to like any of that. Anytime. And yet I see Christian after Christian when it's on their on their social page. It's unbelievable to me. But it happens. Ephesians 4, 27 and 29 are a number of passages. And I really want to read these passages. And I'm going to quickly get out of time here. Speaking of time, I should check that. I'm liable to be here for 40 days and 40 nights. Ephesians 4, verse 27. Do not give the devil an opportunity. Now, what's that got to do with what I'm talking about? The devil is looking for any way and every way he can to get junk into your heart. Now, wouldn't that be something if he used the preacher's Facebook page to put temptation into your heart? What should I do about that? Don't ever give the devil an opportunity. Never give the devil an opportunity. Now I hope you're sitting there thinking, well, you know, I saw that on my feed and I just went on past it. Think of all the other people that saw it. All of your friends. And all of their friends. And all of their friends. It can multiply exponentially. So the reality of it is, we need to be very, very careful about what we're promoting. It is sinful to share and to like the sins of others too. I think that's what Romans 1 and verse 32 is actually saying. Romans 1 and verse 32, the Apostle Paul talked about those sins of the first century, which we could read and are the sins of the 21st century. And he says, and although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, that they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Do you think Paul, by inspiration, understood that there was going to be social media? And that there'd be a like button? And there'd be a share button? That fits perfectly. God's way says, don't do that. Don't do that. Also, are you posting unloving and hateful things? Man, I've seen some people on Facebook get nasty with each other. They get into arguments and so forth, and they're ugly and unkind. And ugliness and bitterness about others, other Christians in churches. There was a time and a place and a state and a far away in another world that I was one time. And there were some brethren that really got cantankerous and ugly and unkind. And they get on Facebook and they just start, you know, just yak and yak and yuck, yuck and yuck, you know, on the Facebook. And everybody and his brother has seen all of that nastiness and unkindness. If that comes on my feed, one friend, it's not going to happen. That's not what it's for. Because that's not what I am a Christian am about. And it shouldn't be what you're about. We're supposed to be Christians online too. We wouldn't allow, in this local congregation, the elders should not ever allow the sheep to get that kind of ugly. What happens, shepherds, when you see some of your flock on Facebook that are getting ugly? Well, that's none of my business. It is your business. It's all of our business. When we act unchristlike. Some just enjoy stirring up controversy. There's some preacher friends of mine that love to get on Facebook and ask a question. They know good and well it's going to stir a hornet's nest and people are going to fuss and fight because all of their they got friends on each side and the other side and in the middle and then, man, they ask that question and it just, wham! They've stirred the hornet's nest. Now, don't misunderstand. I definitely believe we should not be ashamed of the gospel. And I've put truths on Facebook, and I got, especially for some old high school classmates, and I said some things, and it ruffled their feathers. When they started getting nasty and then posting things that they knew that I their friend. We cannot hesitate to teach what's right, but yet, that is a far cry from deliberately trying to cause division, to disrupt, and to be unkind and ungodly. There's a difference in that. I listed several passages there that talk about, especially this Colossians 4 passage, verses 5 through 6. It says, let your words be as it were seasoned with salt, that you might know how to respond to each person. You know, if somebody responds to you or says something to you and it's ugly and it's unkind and it cuts, we're not supposed to respond to them in the same kind. That's hard to do. If somebody comes up and punches you in the nose, you're going to rear back before you know, your nose starts even bleeding. You're going to pop them back. That's not Christ-like. And just because it's online and it's Facebook doesn't mean we have the right to be unkind or ungodly or do wrong. An emotional affair. Have you heard of that? An emotional affair. Facebook has been, according to the American Academy of Matrimonial Lawyers, a primary source of evidence for divorce proceedings. In other words, there's a divorce that's getting ready to take place, somebody gets a lawyer, and they go back and they show through Facebook posts that there was an affair going on emotionally, and it led to a physical affair. It was part of the divorce proceedings. Can you think about that a moment? When we consider the idea that many use social media for flirting, there are people that say things to other people that they ought not to say that's risque, that is lascivious, that is inappropriate. And when those kinds of things are said, sometimes it will encourage the other to reciprocate. And before long, you got a very, very risque conversation going on.
All right?
The reality of all of that is there are those that look up old sweethearts just to catch up. Old boyfriends and old girlfriends from yesteryear. And I don't know how many times I know of Christians who have gone back to catch up and they wound up meeting and one thing led to three and there wound up being a divorce. You see, you can take something that's good, something that's a liberty, something that can be used for very good things, and you can use it for bad too. That can happen. Making private things public. That's happened. There's something that goes on between individuals, and then somebody gets on Facebook and posts it. Let's make sure we understand what that's called. According to Matthew 18, that is called sin. If it's a private matter, Jesus says, you go to that person privately between you and them alone. And if it's resolved, it's over. It's not news for Facebook. If it's not resolved, Jesus said, then you take a couple of others and you get that resolved. If it's not resolved, you don't put it on Facebook. You take it to the church, not Facebook. Do you get the idea? And it's important for us to understand that. Most brethren and churches completely ignore Matthew 18. But social media has enhanced that in the worst way. May I suggest to us as well, don't let social media control you. That was the two lessons this morning. I could have just said, don't let it control you. That would have probably covered it. But it can control you. You can get out of control. But also, I would like to suggest to us, billions of people can see what you post on social media. Billions of people. And what we have learned through the last election, presidential election, things that get out there into the cyber world, the Russians get it. Everybody gets it. Everybody's got it. When they're looking for all this stuff, where's it at? Well, everybody's got it. Right? When you post something, whether it be words, pictures, it's out there for millions and millions of people. Now, having said that, what if we start to do this? Here's how we help each other. Here's how we help hold each other accountable. This guy right here, he and I are brothers in Christ. We're Facebook friends. Are we friends? Are we, no kidding?
Yeah.
On Facebook?
No.
Oh, come on, dude. That's called lying, man. All right. Let's pretend. We're friends, all right? And he posts things, or I post things. I put the bad on me. I post things that I shouldn't post. All right? What if he says, you know, when you post things you shouldn't post, what if I just, when I get to church, I'll just put it up here on the board for everybody to see? He go like, no, wait a minute, dude. That was private. I've actually known of Christians who argued about getting caught by means of Facebook, being in places and doing things. There was one social media, one of our brothers when I was serving as an elder, he was in a bar. He was drinking. People took pictures, put it on his social media. Elders called him in, had a conversation. He was like, well, man, y'all weren't supposed to see that. What an idiot. What an idiot. You going to go out and sin? Well, I tell you what, let's take some pictures of this and then put it on social media. Nobody will find out. Who are you fooling? Number one, God sees all regardless if you take pictures. God sees all regardless if you don't put it on social media. Number three, when you put it on social media, why can't I put it on the board in front of the whole church? What's the difference? before you post it, would you want that whole church to see? And if you kind of cringe about that, then push delete. That makes sense. I mean, that makes great sense. But I constantly see Christians in immodest dress to go off down to the beach, go down to the lake. Got nothing on as, whatever that comedian was in the country music or whatever guy, you know, street guy. You know, they had nothing on but a smile. Ray Stevens, there you go, there he is. You know, we come to worship God. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Then we go to the lake and we get naked and drunk and we just put it on Facebook and we don't know why the elders get upset. Actual case. Names change, place, and all that. Not told, protect all the guilty. Guy was going to be put up for a deacon. He'd had a little problem before, several years ago, about not being the man in his house controlling his women. That would be his wife and his daughters. Elders talked to him about that. He straightened up and started being a man. Started ruling his house. Godly. It was very noticeable. Changes took place. Maybe appoint him a deacon. Elders got in, started talking with him. Somebody informed that there was pictures on Facebook. Well, we brought in our laptop, sat in the meeting with husband, wife, daughters. Opened up Facebook. There was a woman, their daughter, in a bikini, in a county beauty contest. The man did not know that those pictures were on Facebook. Next picture showed him and his wife standing there with her. He couldn't understand why we said, you can't serve as a deacon. Now you're sitting there thinking, is it wrong to wear a bikini? Okay, that's another lesson. But the reality of it is this. When you put things that are inappropriate, immodest, on Facebook, you are standing before the whole world practically in the same condition, let alone before God Almighty. He sees you. I wonder how many of us continue to use social media the way we do if we really thought about these following scriptures. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 11, and I'm getting toward the end, I give you courage. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 11, notice this great text. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 11. The scripture says, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and attend to your own business, and work with your hands just as we commanded you. Let that verse soak in just a little bit. Hold your finger there. Turn to the golden text. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. Jesus said, therefore, however you want people to treat you, so treat them, for this is the law and the prophets. You take those two passages and put them together. That ought to be the foundation of your social media account. If it is not, you need to make a change. Well, that's what I come to tell you. How long did it take me? Did I go over time? 3 minutes late. Sorry. We'll kindly ask Brother Woods Sunday morning, take 3 minutes off your sermon if you don't mind. Give these folks a break. You listen very kindly, and I appreciate that. Now here's something I want to ask you, and I mean it as sincerely as I know how to ask it. Anything that I have said or implied that is not true. If you are a male, please speak up. there is a female and you think I have, before I leave this building, you speak to a man and or come to me and tell me so. If what I have presented is based upon God's word and His truth, it doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter where you're from. God's law applies to us in realms of liberty as well. May God Almighty help us all to not sin ourselves by using a freedom. May God Almighty help us not to be a stumbling block to anyone. Thank you for listening. If you're here tonight and not a Christian, these notes I placed upon the board this morning. I'll place them again tonight. If you need to obey the gospel, all things are ready, all things are prepared. Remember what God through Isaiah said. You need to come to me while I may be reached. That suggests that there will be a time when you cannot come to God. If you need to come to God tonight to be baptized into Christ or to make corrections in your life, either privately or publicly, we'll pray with you and pray for you. Won't you come as we stand and sing?